Welcome to part three of our series, I Have Decided. And let me say, as we launch into this part three, a warm, heartfelt welcome to all those that are now watching online who's just joined us. We welcome you. Glad you're here along for the ride. Come on, everybody, let's welcome them. Glad to have you with us today. And you guys just look great. You know that? I'm still recovering from that week of snow and ice when I had to miss you for a week. That was terrible. But anyway, you just look great today, and we're just having a fun time at church. How many believe the church can actually be fun? Yeah, no, that sounds like heresy, but we actually believe Jesus was enjoyable and enjoyed life, and we're enjoying life together, having a blast just serving Jesus and making a difference for all that really matters, and that's eternity. And so just welcome you here today. I'm just so excited about this this installment of this series today of I Have Decided. We're in part three again of this series with this thesis, and that is that every year presents us with new opportunities. You know, as you begin the new year, it's a new season to make some new decisions. Aren't you grateful for that? You know, you have a new slate, you have a fresh start, it's a new year. And so, but we want to make those decisions that count. We begin sometimes with these things we call New Year's resolutions that are sometimes broken by the second week after we've made them the first week. You know, the gym is full on day one of January, and then you just go a couple of weeks ahead and the gym is empty, right? But we want to be making sure we make the right kind of decisions. And really, this series is about talking about a few decisions that are very important to your life that are often overlooked. And so this series, again, we're pointing you to the most important decisions of your life. Week one, we talked about getting closer to Jesus. If you missed that, really encourage you to go online to our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com and be sure and check that out. There are some notes there also that you can download if you missed that. And it's really talking about this one thing that's needed, and that is just getting closer to Jesus. Because if we can get closer to Him, it fuels everything else in our life. I mean, it's the center point of everything. You know, you think about a wheel, the spokes of a wheel. Jesus is the center of it all. And from there, He touches every area of our life, and it'll change our life. Last week, we talked about the importance of being a follower. Not just knowing Him, but getting closer to Him, and getting closer to Him, but following Him. And that we've discovered that that means that we must take up our cross and follow Him. It's a little more serious than just a trivial following Him, but it's an intense following Jesus. We talked about that. And when you do that, when you go all in, again, it changes everything. When we take those steps of following him, in fact, we talked about one of those steps, which is a step of after we know Him, then we begin to follow Him. One of those steps is water baptism. And I want to continue to encourage you to do that. We actually have a date of the second Sunday of February that we encourage you. We're going to have water baptism opportunity on that day. You can register today. I encourage you to do something tangible. Register today in our connection area for that. You can do that, and we would love to have you register and take that step in following Jesus. Today, we're talking about the decision to discover what I'm on earth here for in the first place, right? Why am I here? Our purpose and our vision for life. What am I here for? You know, there's a book written by Pastor Craig Groeschel called It. And in this, he tells of a story of a greyhound dog, you know, those greyhound dogs that race on the racetracks, the dog tracks in Florida. Well, he tells of this story where there's these dogs that are racing. And see, in order for them to race, what they have, I don't know if you've ever been to one of those, but they have this track that goes around, and on this inside rail of the track, there is a mechanical rabbit, you know, that they send out ahead of the dogs. The dog's got to have something to chase. I mean, you can't get one of those jockeys, you know, horse jockeys on there, you know, riding the dog to get them to go away. So you got to have something that motivates the dog. So they have this mechanical rabbit that they, you know, send ahead of the dogs, and dogs chase the rabbit around the track. Well, there was this incident that occurred where these greyhound dogs were following this rabbit, and something technical went wrong, and the rabbit exploded. I mean, like, fur and wires went everywhere. Well, the dogs didn't know what to do. None of them finished the race. One of them actually got so scared by it all, he ran into the railing and broke some ribs. Another dog just turned to the crowd and started howling. Woo, oh, woo, you know, howling at the crowd. The rest of the dogs just sat down, you know. Don't know what to do, just lay down in the middle of the track. I thought, what a picture it is when we don't have a goal in mind of what we're running towards. You know, at times we'll hurt ourselves. We begin barking at others, you know, yelling and howling at everybody. Or we just give up and sit down and die. You know, we just, I don't know what the point of it all is. And so we need to get a purpose of why we're here and what we're doing. And so when you don't have that rabbit, you know, when you don't have that view of something to chase, you'll hurt yourself. You know, you holler at everybody, you lay down. So one of the most important commodities I believe that we can have is having a dream or having a vision, having a reason to get up in the morning, to know why you are on this earth in the first place. I think one of the best gifts that we have is clarity of vision and purpose. And so actually we make that one of our real big focuses here at Crosspoint, is to help you discover what your purpose is. We want you to be fully devoted followers of Christ and fulfill all that God has for you, right? That's in our mission statement as a church. And so we want to make sure that we understand what that vision looks like, what that is. And so this installment is about that we have decided that it's time to live my life on purpose. And let me give you a scripture. I'll throw up here on the screens. It's also there in your message notes where you can jot some things down there. That's in your worship guide for you today. In Proverbs 29 and 18 in the King James Version, it puts it this way: where there is no vision, the people die. You know, the people run into railings. The people, you know, bark at one another and lay down and die, right? So where there is no vision. And I think oftentimes we can be guilty of feeling that way where, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going through the motions. I get up every day. I go to work. I bump my head against the wall. I come home. It's the same old, same old. And some of you have probably even thought and maybe even said, I just feel like I'm dying. Just feel like I'm dying. What's the point of it all? And so we're in survival mode and where there's no dream. In fact, I heard it said that youth oftentimes in our generation, in our times, that the most prevalent addiction of youth is probably not what you think. The worst addiction is to fantasy, non-reality, you know, virtual life. You know, just living in this fantasy world, because one of the reasons is there's no purpose, there's no goal, there's no hope in what they look and see around them, so therefore we just crawl up into this fantasy world. Well, I want to tell you, we can have a vision and a dream, and God promises that. Is that, look at Proverbs 29:18 in the NIV translation, and it puts it this way: where there is no revelation, okay, it calls it revelation, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. So if I don't know why I'm here, it just doesn't matter, you know. I mean, why go to church? I mean, it doesn't matter anyway. Why pay my bills? It really doesn't matter. I mean, I don't care. I mean, it's just this whatever mentality. What difference does it make? So we need a revelation or a vision. I look at that word revelation or vision in the Hebrew translation. That word actually is the word kalzon, kalzon, kalzon. Now, that it's pronounced calzone. Now, it's not to be confused with calzone, okay? It's not a calzone. That's a terrible thing to put up on day 15 of a fast. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, I just couldn't resist, but I get that out of there. But calzone, all right? And what that means, it's write this down in your notes. Write this down. It's a dream. It's a dream and it's a vision, or a revelation or a vision. And so, do you have a vision for your life? Do you have a dream for your life? Is there a revelation where you have, oh, I understand now why I am here? Again, Crosspoint, here at our church, we center so many things around this topic because this is one of the most important commodities that we have. In fact, that's why I believe it's the third most important decision that we can have in our life when we can define this meaning of what it means. What does our life mean? What is our purpose? And it affects everything else. Now I know why I get up in the morning. Now I know why I pay my bills. Right? Now I know why I breathe air, why I wake up, why I raise kids, why I exist. There is a reason for it. So let me give you some breakdown on this of what a vision will do for you. Number one, write this down. A vision for life will bring focus. It'll bring focus. And oftentimes our life is in a situation where we're just really not focused. And when there's no focus to our life, we say yes to everything. And we say no to very few things. And so the language of the day is, how you doing? Oh, yeah, busy, 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 just busy, busy, busy. You ain't got time to breathe, just busy, busy. Because we're saying yes to everything because we have no focus to our life. But when you're focused, you can say, I know who I am, I know where I'm going, I know what I'm called to do. There's a purpose for my life. And so we need a vision for our life. Let me tell you, you need a vision, and you need to be focused on that vision, because if you're not focused on that vision, can I tell you that all of hell has a vision for your life, right? McDonald's has a vision for your life. They have a plan for your body, all right, okay? Hollywood has a plan for your family, right? Telemarketers have a plan for your finances. And if you don't have a plan for your life, there's no focus. I'm telling you, you're just going to be led around and bump your head against the wall all through life. So that sounds, you know, we say when we see something that somebody offers us when we have no focus, we say, hey, that sounds pretty good. Sure, why not? I'll take a little of this, take a little of that. I'll do this, do that, whatever. It doesn't matter. What difference does it make? Yeah, sure, that sounds good. And I can see many times people who live their lives this way. They just, with the wind, go here, go there, do this, do that, whatever. I'm just floating, man, whatever floats your boat. I'm just going there. There's no plan, no focus. So a vision for life will bring focus to your life. Number two, a vision for your life will bring endurance. When we're on this journey of life, sometimes if we do not have a vision, we get so tired along the way. Some of us are worn out because we have no vision, because it's just the same old same. Well, what difference does it make? Lord, help me just to get up out of this bed, right? I mean, I do that in the mornings. The first thing I do, I have a habit of I just spin around on the bed. The knees hit the ground first, you know. Lord, help me get through this day. That's, yeah. Or just help me get to the bathroom. Y'all don't know. Some young people don't know what I'm talking about. After you pass 40 or 50, you're like, I just need to rent a cab to get to the bathroom, right? But a vision for your life will give you endurance. So when we're so tired and so worn out and we don't seem to be able to endure, the culprit is that we have lost our vision for life. But when you have a goal, that goal will keep you going. I've never run a marathon. Some of you have. Some of you are in marathons or half marathons. Hats off to you. Amen. But to me, that would be hard to do a marathon because I like to see the goal. I like to see where the finish line is, you know, so I can go towards that. But when there's no finish line and you're just, you know, maybe it's around the next corner. I'm just not sure. Paul described it this way, that it is a race that we are in and that we are running. But we need to have a finish line in mind. And have finish line. And when you have a goal, it's going to carry you through. You're going to be able to endure anything when you have that goal, when you have that vision in mind. You're going to be able to endure things, right? You're going to be able to endure. When I think about endurance, what comes to my mind is my beautiful, lovely wife. who has given us two wonderful boys. The first boy was 8.5 pounds. The second boy was 10 pounds. And I got to witness both of those. And it was endurance. The second one, boy, she went natural all the way. And even was induced. Y'all mothers know what that means. That means if they put that, what's that stuff they give y'all? Pitocin, you're pretty much going to have to get the epidural, right? Because it's going to be more intense. Well, she didn't. She laid right there. Oh, my. I had a headache. Her mother gave me an aspirin. I put it in my pocket. I couldn't get the courage to. And she's praying, you know. She's saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me get across the finish line. Jesus, help me. And I said, honey, he's right here with me. She said, are you sure he's with me? And when somebody's got a goal in mind like that, you just back up and say, whoa, man, woman. Yeah, you are the woman. So, some of you are in labor pains and don't understand the intensity of what you're going through and your faith being challenged and tested and tried. But when you've got a goal in mind, when you've got a finish line, it'll see you through the dark days. It'll see you through the dull days. It'll see you through the dismal days. It'll see you through depression and discouragement and defeatism and negativism and cynicism and everything else that the enemy tries to throw at you. You're going to make it through across the finish line when you have a vision for your life, right? Number three, a vision for life will bring fulfillment. Fulfillment. See, some of you have been looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places. Fame won't bring it. Finances won't bring it. Position won't bring it. You can try those things, but you'll be back, because only Jesus can satisfy. And that's why it's so fun doing church, because I know this is the place. This is his house. This is where it happens in relationship with him. It's not about religion. It's not just about his house, but about being in a relationship with him. And that's what this thing's really all about. And we know that that's what really works. It's when we get connected to him. When you understand and have a focused vision and you have a vision of endurance, it will bring you great fulfillment. So the question then is, where does vision come from? Well, it comes from the one who's already written the book on your life, who's written the days of your life. It's in his book, according to Psalm 139. God's written all the days ordained for you, and to which you may be thinking, I don't think so. If that's so, he's not a very good author. But don't you know that there are some chapters in your life that he didn't write? Chapters in my life he didn't write, but I wrote them. But the good news is that God writes this. He can write this last chapter of your life and bring it all together and take those things that the enemy sent for evil and for bad and turn them around for good. God is a specialist at doing that. So our God is able to fit that last chapter in and turn it all for good. So God has a plan for your life. That's the good news. Let me give you a scripture that's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It's in the Message, and it says this. It's in Christ. I want to emphasize that. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. It's there that we discover our purpose and our vision. It's only in Christ. And part of the overall purpose, he is working out in everything and everyone. So the overall purpose for our life, it is found in Christ. He's the one who made you. He's the one who created you. We are his workmanship, created to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do with your life. He's already prepared. He didn't create you and say, well, now he's here, what am I going to do with him or her now? No. He knew before he created you, he had a purpose and a plan for your life. And the greatest day of your life is when you not only come to Christ, but then when you discover why you're here and what he's called you to do. I'm telling you, it changes everything. So a lot of people are trying, though. We're trying to just figure this out, but we're missing the target. I heard a story of an Olympian in the 2004 Olympics in Athens, and it was the rifle competition. His name was Matthew Emmons, and he was the best at it. And he was in the three-position, 15-meter rifle competition. And he was so far ahead of everyone else, it wasn't even close. And it was the last round of shooting, and all he had to do was to hit the target, and he had won the goal. That's all he had to do. I mean, anywhere on the target, he just had to hit it. He was so far ahead. And so these guys have this amazing ability to calm themselves when shooting these rifles. When you study about it, they actually have the ability to slow down their heart rate, you know, so that there's no jitter, so that when they're aiming, I mean, it's just steady, and they just squeeze that trigger. I mean, they just calm themselves. There's no jitter in it at all. And again, all he had to do was hit the target. And so here he comes on that last round, and he takes aim. He steadies himself, squeezes the trigger, pow, bullseye, wrong target, hit the wrong target. He placed eighth, no medal in the competition. You see, some of us are trying real hard and we're shooting, but we're hitting the wrong target. So we got to make sure our vision is what it needs to be. We try oftentimes, but we're coming up empty. But here's the good news. God has a purpose for your life, and he wants to reveal it to you. Again, that's one of the focuses that we put so much emphasis on in this church, is that we can have a life of fulfillment, and God wants that for every person. I believe this is what God wants for every person. He wants every person to be saved, right? He wants every person to be restored, and he wants every person to be redeemed, and every person to be fulfilled, right? He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be restored, get rid of all of the pain and the junk of yesterday, be redeemed to understand why we're here, and be fulfilled in doing that. And so this is what we're saying in 2017. I have decided that this is a year to find my purpose. I have decided this is the year to find my purpose. And when we do that, and we make 2017 the year of purpose, our problems that we have that seem to be over our head will begin to shrink and become smaller. So I want to dissect this and help you get on the path to find God's purpose for your life. I want to take a look for just a moment and dig into Ephesians chapter 5 for just a brief moment. Ephesians is an amazing book. Scholars say that if you're going to read one of the books, this is an amazing book to read in the New Testament. It's even called the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. In this book, it tells you how God has chosen you, how he saves you in chapter 2. He talks about the body of Christ and your role in it. It's chock full of practical doctrinal information, information about marriage, information about kids, information about your language. It ends the book in spiritual warfare. It's a small book. You can read it in a short amount of time, but you need to study the book of Ephesians. I want to look at chapter 5, verses 8 through 18. Look at what it says here. I'll throw it up on the screen for you. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. Look at this. In the Lord, live as children of the light. So we need to discover who we are. How can we have this revelation of who we are? We need his light to shine into our life and help us to discover that. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord, what God's plan, what his purpose is for your life. Find out what that is. Having nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness. So we're going to find out what pleases the Lord, what's good, what our purpose is, and what is not our purpose, those things that keep us from our purpose, those deeds of darkness, we expose those, but rather expose them. We need to understand what it is that prevents us from finding God's purpose in our life. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. So when we get rid of that junk and we get into the light of God's word and what he's saying to us and his revelation, it begins to reveal and make everything visible to us. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. It's time to wake up and say, okay, I'm not just going through the motions this year and meaningless activity, but I'm going to awaken to what God's purpose is for my life. And he says, Christ will shine on you. And then he says, be very careful then how you live, because those things, how we live, can prevent us from discovering and fulfilling God's purpose for our life. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most, love this, of every opportunity. 2017 is a new opportunity. That's why we try to create opportunities around here that is going to give meaning and purpose that's beyond yourself, but eternal purpose and meaning that you're connecting to, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will, what his plan, what the vision for his life is, for your life, what the Lord's will is. Do not, and then it goes on to say, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let me just leave that right there for a moment. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That word debauchery, the definition of that means extreme indulgence in your senses. So what he's saying there is don't live your life following your senses or following your feelings. Your feelings calling all the shots of your life. So when you do that, lust is leading your decisions, not your focus of your vision. Your appetites are leading, and your body is now in charge. But he's saying don't live your life that way, but instead be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God. That word Spirit means the breath of God. We just sung about that, didn't we? The breath of God that brings life to everything else. And so, follow the Spirit of the Lord, not follow our own in debauchery. And so he gives us several instructions here in Scripture. Most of them are written down twice that we see. But I want to bring this down to three questions that we need to ask and answer that I believe they'll put us on the right track to discovering our vision and our purpose for our life. Number one, write this down. What am I doing that I should not be doing? What am I doing that I should not be doing? We need to be honest. And I would say that you already know what you're doing that you should not be doing. Just a little uncomfortable pause there. What are you doing that you should not be doing? Some of us are living a life that God never intended us to live. And some of us feel like giving up, laying down in the middle of the dog track. Some of us have resigned that that's the way it's going to be. I can't change anything. But can I tell you that that's not the case? God gives you a clean slate. God gives people fresh starts. He offers you a fresh start today. And so this is the time in 2017 to expose the deeds of darkness. And here's what you'll discover. Hiding behind those deeds of darkness is God's vision for your life. When you get rid of those deeds of darkness, you'll discover God's vision for your life. All you need to do is remove the junk, get that out of the way, and you can more clearly see God's vision for your life. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, I just hung that out there for a moment. Then, when you do those things, when you get rid of the things you should not be doing, then that's when everything begins to change. Look what he says next. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the point of it is, don't be worldly. Get rid of those things that are preventing you from discovering God's vision. Can I tell you, it's the enemy that wants to keep that junk in your life, to keep you from living the dream, the vision, the revelation that God has for you. Helping you, preventing you from discovering that part of your life that's the most fulfilling. So what do you do about those things? First of all, you expose it. Adam and Eve, just what did they want to do? They wanted to cover things up. Come on, just give us some figs. And God said, no. I see behind those figs, you're naked. You done messed up. Who told you were naked? What happened here? And God already knew. And then only God could cover that. They tried to, only God could cover that, right? So God covered that. But we've got to be honest enough, allow God to reveal, then let him cover the past and write us a new future. That's for somebody. I felt that. That's for somebody today. So in 2017, what do you need to get rid of? Maybe it's stuff on the internet that you're looking at. Maybe it's some harmful relationship that needs to end, where you're going to say, I'm not going to let my senses tell me how I'm going to live my life. In fact, it's not even worth it because it's not bringing me happiness anyway. It doesn't work. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. And by the way, you don't need me to tell you what those things are. You don't need a holy pastor. You have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right? Look at Proverbs 4, chapter 25 and 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So I'm going to get to my purpose. I'm going to get the junk behind me. Look at number two. Number two. What am I doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? So not only what am I doing that I should not be doing, what am I not doing that I should be doing? Remember, the Bible says he's going to give us opportunities. He's going to shine his light in our life and reveal to us. Again, that's why we're focusing as a church on giving you opportunities to step into something purposeful and meaningful. And so for some, it means I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to commit to him. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to live this thing out. I think it's different things for different people, but that we need to discover where it is that we are and what things we need to put behind us, and then what things do we need to be doing. And when, again, what's hiding behind those, that thing of you not doing what you should be doing, once you begin to do those things behind that, when you begin to do that, it will be a revelation of God's vision and his plan for your life. James 4 and 17 is pretty direct. So buckle your seatbelt on this one. He says, anyone then who knows good and ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. To him it is sin. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to us and reveal to us those things that we can say, okay, it's time to let those things go and to step into what God has called me to do with my life. Some of you need to step into the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I'm not saying you have to. We went through the different ways you can fast and all that. You'll find resources online for that. But you need to be intentional about praying. Get up at 5 o'clock a.m. Set your clock. Don't be ruled by your senses. Hello? Be intentional about following what God's called you to do. We're in the last week of it. It's not too late. Join with us. Saturday, I encourage you to be here. If you can be, if your schedule allows to be here, be here with us at 10 o'clock Saturday, and we're going to have a phenomenal finale on Saturday. But it's not the final, by the way. We're believing that you're going to go from day 21 into 22 as far as praying and just continuing to follow after Him with all our heart. But go all in. Get online every day this week. There's a link on our website every day. Look for it, 21 days. Go to crosspointworshipcenter.com/21days, and you'll find a link there where you can connect and be a part of these services. But go all in, whatever that looks like for you. So with all your heart. It may be small groups that you need to get involved in. And guess what, everybody? Next week is our launch of our small groups. Can I get a whoop whoop from somebody? Small group showcase next Sunday. Get over your fears and whatever's holding you back of not getting connected to a group. Get in relationship, because your life's going to change when you do. Some of you might even need to lead a small group. Well, they don't have the kind of small group I want. Well, then lead a small group. Lead a small group. Do it for the sake of others, but also do it for your sake. They say, well, I'm not qualified. Guess what? Some of the most qualified people are the people that are imperfect and messed up. Not the people who are perfect and got it all together. It's the people who have been there. And when you as a leader say, I've been where you are, brother, they could connect with you. Oh, you went through that? Hey, I went through that too. Come on, we can help one another. So lead a small group. Pastor Steve, see Pastor Steve after service today. He'll help you and take you through a course of how to, just a training, how to become a leader and be effective in leading a small group. Can I just say this about small groups? We need to be focused about other people, not just ourselves. Oh, let me just broaden that out for the whole church, for all of us. Come on, we need to be focused about other people, not just ourselves. I go to church not just for me. I need Him, but I go to church for others. It's amazing. People who just say, well, I don't know if I feel like going to church today. I don't know if I need to go to church today. Is that really the right mindset? Come, is that really the right mindset? Shouldn't it be about somebody? We've got an opportunity to reach somebody for Jesus. This isn't about us. This is about them. This is about those that are coming. This is about those that haven't heard yet. We got to reorient our brain. That was for free. Didn't charge you a thing for that. But get into a small group. This is going to help you. It might help your marriage. It might help you fuss less, fight less. So when you're leading a marriage small group, or you're leading any kind of small group, and you're a couple and you're there at your house and you're having a little spat, and you say, honey, we can't do this right now. They're in the driveway. They're coming. We got to straighten up. Good motivation. It'll make you pray more. It'll make you live better when you have a purpose. Can I tell you God's purpose? This just came to me. I didn't have this in my notes. But can I tell you that when you have a purpose and it's God's purpose, it is always linked to the harvest. Look in Scripture. When you study dreams and visions in Scripture, it's always linked to Him reaching His lost children. And if you want to discover your true purpose and really have fulfillment in life, it's not going to be about you. Oh, yeah, I want to be fulfilled. I want to get mine. No, it's going to be about how I can help someone else. And when you help someone else, I'm telling you, it's the most satisfying thing in your life when you're making a difference in the life of somebody else. And you'll become a healthier, happier person in the process. That's right. Can I give you this scripture? It's found in Matthew chapter 6, 34. Give your attention and give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So give Him everything. Come on. Focus on what God has called you to do. So your homework for this message is this. Go all in. Go all in. We're having the growth track today. Today is Dream Team 401. Go all in. Run the play. Go all in. I'm telling you, you can never learn to swim sticking your toe in. It's kind of chilly. It's kind of chilly. I found out when I jump in a swimming pool, I have to dive in because once I get my head under the water, I'm good. You know, I'm acclimated. You're not going to get acclimated doing this kind of stuff. Sorry, y'all. I'm not a rock yet. Okay. That's as high as it goes. Okay. As high as it goes. Jump on in, man. The water's great. It's awesome. Have fun with it. Go all in. You'll never discover what life is really all about until you go all in. Let me give you a third and final point. Why not do it today? Can I tell you that we have over-exaggerated yesterday, we have overestimated tomorrow, and we underappreciate this moment right now? Oh, that's good. Go ahead and write that one down. We procrastinate. How many procrastinators do we have here? Anybody want to raise your hand? See, some of you procrastinated right then. You're like, the sloths on that, what's it, Zootopia, yeah. Go all in. Can I give you a verse in 2 Corinthians in closing? I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I want to share something with you. I didn't know where or when or how I was going to share this, but I felt like I should share this. I was thinking, let's wait till we've concluded this portion of our service, share this in-house and not on the internet. But I think this is the place I need to share this. So this is for somebody. We're talking about dreams and visions and revelation. And I'm not trying to make this more than it is, but you know how you have those dreams sometimes that just seem really real and you wake up kind of startled and say, what did that mean? Is there any message in that? We're not weird, y'all. We're normal, okay? I'm not trying to be weird here. But I think there's a message here. My wife, Kim, was telling me this week that she had a startling dream. There was a tragic accident in her dream. Cars just ran over each other and was mauled. And there were people everywhere. She said there was blood and body parts, and I mean, I don't mean to be gory, but she was describing the scene. It was horrific, all in the street. And she was trying to get through that accident. You ever get behind an accident on the road, you're trying to get to work, you got somewhere to go? I don't know if, do we pause and say, help them, Lord, or do we just say, please move this line so I can get to work? She was in the scene and she was trying to get through this scene, and you know how dreams are kind of weird at times. She was kind of trying to pull her car or something. She was walking through it. She had a burden thing. She was trying to pull through. Don't ask me to explain that. You can't explain your dreams either fully, right? But she had this thought. She thought, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I got to get through this. I don't have time for this. And she woke up from that dream and she thought, phew, that was seemed real. What did that mean? And she thought to herself, could it mean there are lives at stake? There's people whose lives are a wreck. And if we're not careful, we're just trying to get past it to get to our thing. But our thing is their thing. What God has put around us, which may seem to be like problems and obstacles, are actually opportunities that have eternity in the balance of them. I want to encourage us to focus on what matters. Eternity matters. People matter. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which is lost. Can I tell you, if you don't know him, and if you're listening today or you're here today and you don't know him, he came seeking you because he loves you. And he wants you to be saved, restored, redeemed, and fulfilled. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And then the enemy is trying to do everything he can to keep you away. He'll use everything to distract you. He'll use religion to distract you. And it is not about religion. Religion says you got to do this and that and the other, and you got to man up and woman up, and you got to make it happen. But that's not what relationship is about. Relationship is that Jesus Christ did it all for us, and we are completely dependent and relying upon him for our salvation. Amen. Bow your heads with me today. I want to give you an invitation. I believe God has given a word to someone here today, and you're now ready to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided that this is the year 2017. I'm going all in. And the Holy Spirit right now is drawing you. And you're ready to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. When we do that in 2017, this is going to be the best year of your life if you go all in. So if you're here and you or perhaps you're listening online and you are not in right relationship with the Lord, I want to help lead you in a prayer of giving it all to the Lord. So if you're here today, without hesitation, I'm only going to ask one time. But if you would say, when you lead that prayer, Pastor, would you count me in? I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but right where you're seating, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, count me in. Right now, without hesitation, would you lift up your hand quickly and just hold it up for just a moment? Yes, yes, yes. Good job. Thank you, thank you. You could put your hands back down. Let me lead you in this prayer. I'm helping you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. If you're watching online, join with us. And I'd like everybody in this congregation to join with me for support to pray this prayer out loud. And if you need to pray this prayer, just mean it from your heart. Pray this. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for giving me a second chance, a new beginning, a new slate, a new life. Thank you for the life that you've promised me, that I can know through placing my faith in you. Thank you for paying a debt that I could never pay by myself. Today I accept you into my life. Today I give you my life. With all of my heart, I will follow you. Today I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I will follow you with all of my heart as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for every person, God, that has just prayed that prayer. And I pray, God, that you would guide them step by step in discovering who you are and what your purpose is for their life. Lord, I thank you for this church, for giving us as a church fresh vision. Oh God, thank you for fresh vision, fresh revelation for what you have called us to do as a church, and that is to reach the lost. We are a Great Commission church, Father. You've called us to fulfill the Great Commission. God, I pray that you would awaken within us. Let us arise and not slumber or sleep, but be awakened to the light of your word, which shines in our path to do what you've called us to do, Lord. Let us, oh God, not only, Lord, have new revelation and new vision and new dreams, but God, I pray fresh fire, that you would enable us to do what you called us to do, because we cannot do it in our own strength, but God, by your power, by your strength, by your spirit, All things are possible, God. We thank you for, I'm thanking you today for the multitude that's coming to Christ. For the multitude that's coming to Christ, God. We thank you for using us in your harvest field. God, for using us, Lord, God, to reach the lost at any cost. We give you all the praise and all the glory for all and all the credit for all accomplished, God. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, and the whole church said, amen. Come on, let's praise him. Let's worship him today. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. That's awesome. That's awesome.